Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
+27 7347035 20. That's a number where you can get in touch with us on as we study together, going into our Make It Practical conversation space. We are in the fifth commandment: honor your mother and your father, with our pastor Mfundisi Ephraim Mutola. Now, for many, the fifth commandment brings a warm sense of gratitude. But for others, hey, it triggers an immediate ache, a flood of painful memories. Honor your father, honor your mother. Whew. But what do you do when the people God trusted with your life failed to protect it? How do you apply this ancient law when your childhood home was a place of fear, neglect, a place of conditional love? If you have ever felt trapped between the desire to obey God and the need to protect your own mental and physical safety from a toxic space, a toxic parent, dare I say, then this lesson is for you. You're not alone, by the way. And there is, thankfully, by God's grace, a path forward. Mfundisi Mutola, good morning to you, sir, and welcome to our study.
Thank you so very much. Good morning. Good morning, Derek. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. We appreciate you joining us, and thank you so much for the time as we jump into this conversation space, looking at the fifth commandment. Maybe before we go deeper into it, just a brief introduction about what this lesson is all about when we talk about the fifth commandment. What are we talking about?
Well, the fifth commandment is the one that we find in the Bible. One of the favorite verses we quote is Exodus 20, verse 12, which says, honor your father and your mother, that indeed your days may be long. So it's a sweet commandment, okay. The only one that comes with a promise. And this is also verbalized very well in Ephesians chapter 6, again, verse 1, 2, and 3, mm-hmm. telling us the same thing: honor your father and your mother. Yeah. This is the first commandment with a promise that your days may be long and that it will go well with you. Mm. So that's the beauty and the unique part of this particular commandment. It yeah. comes with a promise. Mm. Thank you.
It comes with a promise. Thank you so much, Mfundisi, for that. And I like this reiteration, if you will, that you gave us from Ephesians, because it comes with an exit clause. At least some would want to take it as such, right? Honor your father, your mother in the Lord. Is it saying we must not be found as people who are into blind obedience? But honor, is there a difference between obedience and honoring?
Oh, yes, there is. There is a difference. Mm-hmm. Yes, there is a difference between a blind honoring and, what I could call maybe simple obedience, okay. as the Bible puts it. Mm-hmm. Yes. In fact, I could even say that most parents, they only demand this particular simple obedience. Yes. But you see, today, usually it's religion that wants to distort it. Okay. Yeah. And okay. usually it's where it's someone's office that he uses to, for lack of better terms, to manipulate even adults so that they can now get into this blind, honoring. Yes, mm-hmm. and this way, they'll quickly use words such as, they'll quote verses actually, like, touch not my anointed.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
Which means you cannot even think about it. You just have to obey what probably a church leader or a spiritual leader is saying. And they give you to say, when it comes to decisions, even with your money and so on, you cannot think. You have to just give this blind honoring. Yes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's where a church leader wants to use his position as though he himself or she herself is God. Yes. And, mm-hmm. and then they'll say, now you give this blind honoring. If you don't, oh, terrible consequences will happen. So those are some things. So we could say that there are really some simple differences that are there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
For example, the other one is just where if it is just simple obedience, you listen attentively, you comply with instructions, you submit to the functional rule or directive of this person. But when it comes to this other honoring, it's actually some kind of high value weight on you. Uh-huh. And then the other one, basically, is looking at the issues of just simple, specific structures that are there,
mm-hmm.
like a child and a parent, you know, like probably a leader and a follower. Yes. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the other one, it's it goes beyond that.
Yeah.
It's like it's not just a leader. It's not just a parent, but it's as though you're dealing with God, you know,
himself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who cannot make a mistake and so on. Yeah. So those are some of the things that are really put there where somebody wants you to, you know, to not just obey, but to honor almost, I could add another word, almost like to worship this person. Yeah.
You know, as we look into the subject, two things came to my mind. One, I once touched on a friend of mine who said, in actual fact, that is the purpose of a parent, is it not? To be like a little God. In fact, that's the first God that children know to obey. And like you're saying, almost to worship before they get to know the real God. And are you saying then that approach of having that reverence for parents out of order? And I mean, if you look at African parents in particular, and I'm sure you'll be familiar of this, not sure if you are not even guilty, Muruti, of having said this in your own parenthood, to say, you know what, when a child is wanting to know why and who are you to tell me to do this thing, then you're like, because I say so, you know, I don't need to explain anything. You don't need to understand it as well. Just do it because I said so. I don't know, Muruti.
No, that one is really true. That's what we see.
Yeah.
But all in all, that truth of all the matter is that no, you. A parent is not God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Parent is not God. Yeah. But yes, in practice, that's what we try to put across, to say, no. You don't need to question. You don't. By so doing, we are trying to say, me as a parent, I cannot make a mistake.
Yeah, certainly.
Uh-huh. I cannot make a mistake. So, but the truth is, we know very well that mistakes are made.
Nah.
There are plenty of them by parents. But yes, we have this issue where we want to demand and say, no, just get it. You don't need to think about it, whether you like it or not. Just get it.
Yeah.
But I think it's important for us to know that what the Bible is talking about is simple obedience.
Yes.
And I loved one word you used of reverence.
Mm-hmm.
It should not be actually reverence, because reverence, I even know that I think that's why the Seventh Adventist Church has no office called reverend. Yeah,
true.
Because reverence is actually between respect and fear, somewhere in between there.
True.
Yeah, between respect and fear. And that should not be the relationship between the child and the parent.
Certainly, Muruti, thank you. Comment coming through today. No, but Mfurisi, why am I going back and forth with a four-year-old in this economy? You know, and you mentioned this. I mean, I know of the olden parents. I'm not too sure on these days with the laws and the rights picking up about kids and so forth. I mean, in the olden days, they'll tell you, I brought you into this world. I have power to take you out.
Yes.
Mfurisi, you spoke about the way Paul puts it and reminds us to say, when you look at the fifth commandment, it is the first commandment with promise, right? And the Bible promises that your days will be long. Why is that? And what does this promise mean for someone perhaps whose childhood environment actively shortened their sense of well-being?
I've loved the way you have put that question. Mm. Yes. Mm. Believe me, for such a child, we could even say it's like they are, a survivor from, this childhood environment that was marked with certain things, an environment that, shortens this well-being. This can be an environment of abuse. This can be an environment of neglect. Yeah. This can be an environment of a dysfunctional kind of environment or family or parent-child relationship. This can be an environment where there is, where you're abandoned and so on. Yes. Yes. So the fifth commandment and this promise can feel actually deeply painful and also sometimes confusing. Yes, yeah, sometimes even confusing, yeah, because the truth of the matter is that it totally erodes the child's sense of safety, the child's sense of, emotional well-being. Mm. Yeah, sometimes it even affects the child's mental health. You find even maybe the child's self-value, the child's self-worth can be distorted in such an environment because of, constant maybe rejection or neglect or being abandoned and so on. Yeah. So the truth of the matter is that, yes, it may not really be so sweet and straightforward like others may be giving it to say, yes, this is a promise of well-being, that is, well-being. Yeah. So this person is like a survivor from there. And then the issue is, with a damaging misconception, you could now ask the question, is that honoring? Can you honor an abusive and neglective parent? So this is the one now that requires one, some kind of patience, if you like. Maybe that one needs more talk, but it requires also some tolerance. Requires some tolerance. This tolerance should have some boundaries. Should have some boundaries. It should have some boundaries. What I mean by boundaries is that if it goes beyond, then it is not healthy for this particular child. Yes, it's not healthy for this person. So there must be boundaries that should be brought in for the safety, mental health, and so on for this child. Because remember that when this child is small in this particular home with this parent or parents, they'll stay there for some time. They'll stay there for some years when they are dependent upon the parent. They'll be there for some years. And when there are so many days of this kind of environment, guess what? That is what we call trauma. Yeah. So that is what we call trauma. But we want to also state that there is a journey of post-trauma, where you have gone now beyond trauma. Yeah, there is a journey that could be there, Yes, it may start in the survival kind of mode, and it starts, with the endurance and the perseverance and all the heavy kind of lifestyle and burdens on you. But we want to state that we can keep hope alive. There is healing that can come, which allows the person to reclaim their life, to reclaim their self-worthy, to reclaim their self-value, to reclaim their self-image, by the way. Yes. Mm. So it gets to that where there is healing. Yes. So that promise is still there and there can be healing. And maybe I could say it in this way, that if you can't get this healing from this biological parent, by the grace of God, God will give you a spiritual parent you can get this particular healing from this post, trauma that you had in the past. Maybe if you don't get that one, for me as a pastor, I could even say, hey, even when you just talk to your God, just your heavenly Father, yes, you can get this healing from your heavenly Father, and you can find comfort. Yeah, this one is not supported by any Bible scholar, which I want to say now. Okay. But I can just say it, that you see, to me, I believe when I am reading so many of the Psalms or the songs of David in the book of Psalms, what I see is probably a child who could have been rejected and is just out there in the bush with a few sheep. But he found comfort in relating directly with his heavenly Father.
Okay. Sure. Whew, that's profound. Yeah, this idea of honoring, of worship, of fearing, it's a recurring challenge, Muruti. We actually have a question now. One of our listeners saying, can I honor and fear my parent at the same time, or does fear then immediately cancel out the honor part? And I'm not talking fear as in the fear of the Lord is a big, no, not the holy kind of fear, like the terror kind of fear where, you know, this man, this woman has put me almost at trauma level, like you're saying, because of the fear they've instilled in the home. Can those two coexist, that I can still honor them? Or really when I am doing whatever I do, it's really out of fear, not out of honor?
In that situation, literally, it's just fear which is there. Yes. In that situation, it's just fear which is there. It has nothing to do with honoring. It's just fear. Mm. Yes. And sometimes, in our own setting, that very fear, to us, that's our definition of honor. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's our definition of honoring my parent. But basically, it's just fear. Yeah, and I want to say that this is not something, because many a times where we just tell ourselves, no, this is an African problem. Mm-hmm. No, it's not an African problem. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not an African problem. Actually, it's true that it's possible that you can fear your parents and not honor them and behave like you are a good child, but yet out of fear and not honor, because of the fear of the abuse you are going to get, the pain you receive, and the infliction of pain from the parent and so on. So, because you find their parents, instead of disciplining the child, they fight with the child like it's a boxing match and so on, you know, like world championship kind of. So, the truth of the matter is, this is just fear. It's not honoring. And this is where you see that it's something that we can't even learn from God, you know? Mm. Yeah. What we see from God is he gives us the grace to make choices in life. Yes. And even the choice to honor him. Mm. You see? Mm. Yeah. So, but yet when it comes to sometimes the way we do our parenting, we don't give that person the opportunity to make a choice to honor you as a parent, but to fear the consequences of not fearing you.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes. But you see why I'm saying this is something that is not just African. Yeah, when you look at even just the word in Hebrew, the word where we get honor your father and your mother in Exodus 20 verse 12, where we get honor your father and your, the word used there is a very interesting word. Mm-hmm. It's a word that when you translate it, that heavy, something heavy or burdensome Oof. On you. It's a correct translation, like 100% correct. Even if you're in school, they will mark you 100%. This is, they'll even add excellent. But interesting enough, when you use the same word and translate it as to honor that brings glory to that person, to glorify that person, to lift that person high, that this higher person, you lift them high, you glorify them, you turn your spotlight on them, that this is the one who is more important in my life. Again, interesting enough, the teacher or the lecturer there will mark you 100% correct. You see? Yeah. Okay. So it's the same word, but yet meaning two different things. And now this is where now sometimes people will tend to go this way and sometimes they go the other way. Okay. But all that you are saying is that, yes, it can be something that can bring about fear. So we agree with that person who was asking. It can be. So we are just giving a counsel to parents that no. Don't allow your children to fear you.
That's true.
Give an environment for your children to honor you.
Thank you, Mfundisi. Our time is out, but maybe in a minute or so, if you could help us make it practical for somebody, especially to say, what do you then do if you grew up in a home where maybe there was neglectful parenting or absent parenting? I mean, majority of spaces now, especially in the black households, are growing up with single parented homes, right? Especially from the mother's side, and fathers are absent. How do you handle respect, this honor, but also trying to balance the avoidance of toxicity in your life? I'm talking about, I mean, when the parent is so abusive, you want to honor them, but you don't want them near your children. How do you balance? Maybe talk to us about that balancing act that we must now do in modern day to try and still live healthy lives, but still honor these who, in our eyes, don't deserve, but God says you must still honor them. How do we balance that actually in verity?
Thank you very much. Well, I think what is very important is for us to differentiate between the person and the office they occupy.
Okay.
So the office they occupy is that of a parent.
Mm-hmm.
So that office is an office that must be respected.
Okay.
So to me, I want to say respect the office. Yes. And be real with the person who is in that office. Don't pretend that the person is in that office cannot make a mistake. No. But respect the office.
Okay.
So to me, I want to say that no. No matter the mistakes there, still honor that person. Still respect that person. How about with your children? And you talk about your own parent. The most important thing is never be tempted to paint a bad picture of your parent to your children because of your relationship with them.
Okay.
Their relationship with your children is different from yours. Your experience is different. In fact, you'll be shocked, Derek, that most of these parents who are even abusive, some of them who are not even available in the life of their children, when it comes to their grandchildren, they're just the opposite.
True.
They become so sweet to their grandchildren.
Yeah.
They become available to their grandchildren. They become, you know, so good, like really, really good. Yeah. For lack of better terms, they even go even to extremes to spoil even these grandchildren. Yeah,
that's true.
So to me, I think, don't now empty your trauma to your little children about your parents.
Mm.
Yeah. So to me, if you can just appreciate that this is the office they occupy.
Yeah.
And then you appreciate that the occupant of the office is not pure, is not the holy. Yeah, can you have this one and that one? Yeah. Then to me, it shall be well with you.
Amen.
Yeah. So, so honoring the position without really endorsing that this person in that office, cannot make a mistake. But at the same time, I want to say, may you set boundaries.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Set boundaries. Because you see, boundaries allow you to be real with your own, with the truth that you have known because of your experience with them. You have not heard it from the radio. You have been with them. So you set boundaries so that why are you setting boundaries? It's good for your mental health. Why are you setting boundaries? It's good for your belief system. Why are you setting boundaries? It's good because once this relationship is distorted, guess what? Even the way you relate with your Heavenly Father will be distorted.
Will be affected as well.
So that's why you need to set boundaries here.
Uh-huh. No, thank you.
What do I mean by boundaries? You need to be able to say, beyond here, no, I cannot allow. Beyond here, no, I cannot allow. Yes.
No,
so even when it comes to yourself or your children, you set boundaries, they'll help you to maintain that safety that you need, even in your life, so that the promise can be a reality now. It's not just a Bible story, Bible study, or something you get in Sabbath
school.
So it can be a reality that indeed it shall go well with you and you have a long life.
Because if your
relationship is distorted and you have this trauma and so on, and this emotional baggage, guess what? A lot of other interpersonal relationships will be affected negatively.
That means it
can affect negatively your career, it can affect negatively your relationships, and it can affect negatively you achieving what God desires you to become.
So the best version
of you will not come out if this is not sorted out. So that's why boundaries are also quite healthy when you realize the issue. Thank you.
Thank you for this, Abu, for this impact there with a lot of information. We'll have to leave it there. Thank you, Pastor. Appreciating you sharing so much with us this morning as we delved into the subject right here. Until we chat again tomorrow, may God keep you and bless you.
Thank you so very much. Stay blessed too and keep hope alive.
Thank you. That's our Pastor Mfundisi Mutoya sharing with us on this subject of parenting and how we still need to honor despite what we might be facing or having. The grandparents suddenly now have money for McDonald's, which they never had when we were growing up. And they were working, by the way. Another one says here, the law is given in context of God's nation. The children who are demanded to honor parents, they should be growing in an environment which teaches what honoring parents actually entails. There are boundaries, Pastor mentions, in regard to the law. This law today is applied in different contexts, even to homes without fear of God. And it's usually quoted that parents must be honored even when they are abusive to children. Even Paul applies it to the Christian church, isn't it? Right? Yeah, it's a very important one that we note the boundaries that are put out even in God's word.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.